Chapter 7. Terra, the Imperial Palace, Check 0035516. Drakan Vangarich eased his hands along the carved wooden armrests of his new chair with some considerable pleasure. It was a beautiful thing, all braids and shine, and little bits of gold where the wood met that outrageously forgiving cushioned back. Europan, if he wasn't mistaken, somewhere around the middle third of M3. He sighed and sat back into it. The leather squeaked in a pleasing fashion. The window across from the scepterwood table and antique marble handwash basin opened onto an acrid swirl of fortress spires, lighting, twinkling in the smog layer like stars. The many facets of the Emperor looked on from marble walls, friezes, carved in rare woods. Artworks hung in golden frames, portraits of women mostly, and not, to put it delicately, in a fit state of dress for their current altitude. Weird black-skinned statuettes stood on pedestals. Vangarich studied one for a moment, its proportions artistically imprecise, only looking up when a serving girl, recruited it seemed on the grounds of aesthetic perfection, approached through the thick carpet, bearing a refreshment tray. Vangarich held up a glass. She filled it with something pink and fragrant from a platinum ewer, and he idly swirled it as she left. He had visited Mesring's apartments before, of course, but it felt different this time. He knocked back the oddly tasteless wine and let the enzyme grafts lining his mouth and throat do their work, cleansing the liquid of alcohol and other toxins, before it hit his stomach. Then he set the glass neatly on the table. "How does it feel to be one of the 12, then, sir?" asked Beast Cruel.
"Very much the same as before, actually. Power is less about what's given to you than what you take. And besides, it's only provisional."
Cruel stood to one side of the table, between a statuette and a pedestal bearing a pottery fragment. A ripple of torso broke the camellia-line illusion of stillness, and a data slate slid across the table. The high varnish barely even whispered friction until Vangarich trapped it under his fingers. He turned it over, face up, and took a long look at the seal.
"Where did you get this?"
Cruel shrugged. Vangarich picked up the slate. The Black Templar's seal had already been bypassed.
"A list of possible ecclesiarchs," Cruel said, "drawn up by the Adeptus Ministerium at Beaumont's request. Give me the night and I can whittle that list down for you. The High Marshal, too. Naturally."
"Eager for a little light exercise?"
"The High Marshal's going to be a problem, sir, in the long run. We both know it."
"And there I was, thinking you wanted a contest with arguably the greatest warrior in the Adeptus Astartes." "No."
Vangarich tossed the slate back across the table.
"No, I'm prepared to give the new ecclesiarch the benefit of the doubt."
"Very magnanimous, sir."
"Thank you. But I have enough here on Terra to deal with the entire ecclesiarchy leadership 100 times over without needing to call on my best."
"No." He leaned in, and Cruel inched forwards.
"The 12's meeting with Corland was about more than my investiture, overdue as it was. He's gathering his assets for some kind of covert strike. To draw the beast out, I presume. Inquisition? Militarum? Death Watch? Even the Mechanicus, he's assembling an execution force for which he wants the deadliest many can get. And so naturally, I recommended you."
"Too kind, sir."
Vangarich flashed a modest grin and sat back.
"I'd go myself, but I can't oversee everything in person. I hope to get a message to the Culexus Temple, but it's a long way away from here. And who knows if they'll receive it in time. I'd like to have something to offer Corland on his return, something to keep Venand and the Lady Brassanas on their toes. That temper of Corland's is the only thing keeping them all off each other's backs right now, but seeing me across the table from now on might remind them of the knife at their throats."
"Metaphorically, of course."
Vangarich felt his smile subtly alter. He had a cultivated public image of urbanity, but the smile he wore now was of a man who spent every day in a mask. The sort of smile that no one wanted to see on the face of a Grand Master of the Officio Assassinorum.
"Metaphorical knives, you'll find, cut every bit as sharp. Mesring's fate won't be soon forgotten."
Cruel nodded reluctantly.
Second thoughts?
Courland wasn't the only one on Alanor when the Primarch died.
A Primarch, sir.
Alcazar remembered, breaks orbit in an hour. Be on it.
Vangerich slid a briefing packet across the table. Krul scooped it up in his big hand and turned away.
Keep him alive, Krul, whatever his plan is. Right now he is the Imperium. Oh, and one other thing.
A shimmer against the portrait on the wall near the door betrayed the movement of Krul's head.
Be sure Venand keeps herself out of trouble.
Terra, the Imperial Palace. Check 0, 041339.
You disapprove?
Venand stood with hands clasped behind her back, watching the inquisitorial gunboats that slowly crisscrossed the palace skyline through the silvered tint of the armour glass. Their black, slab-hulled bodies patrolled the surrounding spires, weapon hardpoints twitching, the deceptively ponderous sweep of their rotors mirrored across plasteel and glass. She watched a moment longer, then looked over her shoulder when she got no reply.
You have a way of being silent when you disapprove.
Veritas nodded stiffly, the pallid skin of his neck creaking like old leather.
I can think of wiser places to be than on the Abhorrence in the middle of a new crusade.
It's not exactly my first choice.
Sigismund was a maniac. Even the Sigillite was overheard saying so. His successors are almost worse, striving to preserve a philosophy they lack the wit to inherit or the skill to prosecute. They will be at the forefront of any battle, and your protection will be far from their priority.
Venan's ghostly reflection in the glass smiled in amusement. It was not so very long ago that she and Veritas had been trying to kill one another.
Courland has ceded control of the Death Watch, but through gritted teeth, and the Death Watch will know it. I will have to earn their respect before they will follow an order without first taking it to Courland or Thane.
Or the new Watch Commander?
Or him.
The armour glass rattled as a gunboat passed by, flak turret smoothly tracking it until it was gone.
Courland is charismatic, but naive. I don't doubt that his first act after the current crisis ends will be to dissolve the Death Watch, as he has always claimed he will.
She turned fully from the window, hands still clasped behind her.
I can't let that happen.
Why?
Venand was pacing before she realised it. She could never sit while others stood, and Veritas almost never sat. Others assumed it good manners on her part, but that was only a front. A seated individual had further to move to react to a threat than a standing one, and she didn't trust Veritas quite that much.
For the Imperium. The Inquisition is too important to fight amongst itself, or to depend on the resources of others, and our current arrangement seems to work well. You and those that think as you do attend to the chaos threat, and I to that of the alien. Perhaps it is time it was formalized into something permanent, so that an argument over who or what represents the greater threat to mankind will never again cripple us, as it nearly did.
Veritas nodded, accepting the unspoken charge.
Consider the possibilities, Venand went on. An alien-hunting strike force that pools the greatest talents of the Space Marine chapters, one that can be deployed anywhere in the galaxy, to arenas too hostile even for an inquisitorial rosette to provide safety.
That is a tremendous amount of power for you to wield, power that you promised the Lord Commander would be shared.
She took a deep breath and stopped pacing, turning to face Veritas fully.
Perhaps that power could be balanced by a force of Chaos Hunters drawn along similar lines.
Veritas's suit sucked and wheezed around his corpse neck like a ventilator. It blew out an odour of cinnamon-scented oils and formaldehyde, and made the cuneiformed papyrus strips hung from his armour flutter like spirits with secrets. His eyelids fluttered dryly. It was a tick, the tired rattle of an ancient cogitator, one that Venand had come to associate with the deep dredging of ancient memory.
There is a Space Marine chapter based on Titan that might serve.
For a moment, Venand found herself at a loss for words. She turned back to the window and looked out over the scarred, quake-blistered skyline.
An entire chapter? Here? What in the name of the throne were they doing while orcs invaded Terra? And Mars threatened outright rebellion?
They have special interests. Their existence is known only to a few.
Venand was long resigned to the fact that Veritas specialized in things known only to a few.
I will make the necessary overtures, he said after a moment, his lips animating to peel open in something too cadaverous and black-scented to be called a smile. And I will ensure that power does not rush too strongly to Vangrich's head. Though he flatters himself to think so, Malkador he is not.
Don't worry about Draken. It's out there with Courland that things hinge now. He's been fixated on the High Lord's problems for so long that I think the changing centre of gravity has passed him by.
The old Inquisitor's lips settled back into their corpse-like repose. His eyes, now unblinking, found the reflection of hers.
Do not forget Krul. I doubt that Vangrich intends to be a complete bystander.
I will have Raznik with me.
Take more.
There will be more waiting.
You suspect. Courland reveals nothing of your destination.
Though it's with a fleet of inquisitorial barges that he intends to get there, I will be as safe as I can be.
For a long spell, Veritas was silent, and Venand feared that she was the focus of another unspoken reprimand.
Look out for him. For better or worse, Courland is the only thing that holds the Imperium together.
You don't sound convinced that it is better.
Veritas snorted, a crackling wheeze like the start of an old recording.
His diagnosis that the Imperium is not what it once was or was intended to be is correct. But though it is not my place to question a Primarch, Vulcan was missing for 1,000 years. He lacked certain facts. The Emperor's ambition for mankind was the product of an innocent time.
Making this what? A guilty one?
It was a joke, but Veritas just looked at her, eyes dead, a slight curl to his upper lip.
Emperor, watch over you both, he said when he was ready. I will be here when you return.
Terra, orbital, check 0052246. Cold white vapour lay over the floor of the flight deck like a sub-zero froth, clinging to the thighs of the void-suited tech serfs that hurried through it. The grinding closure of the anterior blast doors behind Thane's back drew a ripple through the stew that lapped at the drab-grey ceramite of his greaves. He crossed the length of the deck. The hard grey mullions between launch bay doors passed slowly on his right, the rust-swathed crescent of Terra's southern hemisphere dominating the spaces. There were no clouds. Terra no longer had a water cycle to speak of, but he could see gun blimps, sub-orbital platforms, rad harvesters, drifting across the slow-turning world like something robotically similar. As he walked, a matte-grey thunderhawk broke the coherence field in a squeal of spasming countervalences and roared a few dozen metres over his head, turning torturously on its axis before coming down in a marked bay in a blast of coolant vapours. Incoming transports disgorged armoured space marines or serfs laden with gear and pushing pallets stacked with equipment crates. Others were in the process of takeoff, ferrying visiting officials and liaison staff back to their own ships. Thane ignored the bustle, heading for the group of three gunships that were in the process of being unloaded at the far end of the deck. They were as devoid of chapter icons and embellishment as any Fist's exemplar craft, but they were black. Quartermaster Heroth stood in the fountaining vapours with a clipboard tucked under one arm, glittering void suit made stiff with cold, and personally shook the hand of the more human of the disembarking passengers. Thane recognised the assassin, Krul, his big hand currently crushing the wincing quartermasters, a light kit bag slung over the same shoulder. The Magi, Eldon Urquidex and Phaeton Laurentis, he knew also. The latter scuttled down the boarding ramp on his tripod assembly, accompanied by a servitor pushing a tracked cart containing a set of lead containers marked with a Cog Mechanicus and cautionary runes in Low Gothic and Beinharic. Urquidex moved serenely a short distance behind. His left arm had been replaced with a bulky augmetic. His head was bald, bar-stamped, and still scarred from the aborted surgical process of lobotomization. His telescopic optics and facial grafts made the Magos' emotions alien to Thane, but the periodic twitch of his digital bionics seemed to betray his nerves. The Ranger Alpha, seconded from the Tagmata to safeguard Mars's investment, met Thane's regard with hard lenses of machined glass. Steam hissed from the blue-glowing cells of a plasma caliver in his articulated hands. Cavallinera Brassanus and half a dozen of her sisters gathered together, detached, parchment strips fluttering under the idling turbofans in silent communion. About twice that number, Thane knew, would be distributed across Abhorrence, Punished, and the Anachrono. Six more hopefully waited at their separate rendezvous coordinates. Leaning against their depowering gunship were two more that Thane did not know. A pair of hugely muscular Ogryn, their sloping brows almost level with the gunship roof, grunted at each other in their slow, sub-Gothic dialect. Their khaki vest tops hung open over slab-muscled chests and glittered with newly minted Ulanor campaign pins, Aquila Company patches, and numerous greatly loved honorifica for valor. This was Kurland's kill team, the 30 or so that would succeed where the Emperor's millions had failed. "The Lord Commander ordered me to find quarters for this group," said Heroth, still massaging his hands as Thane approached. "So I've been informed. Any further orders?" "No, Lord." Thane grunted, somewhat disappointed, then looked up towards the tremendous metallic impact that rang against one of the gunship's troop ramps.
"Thane!"
The welcome came as a feline snarl from the closest gunship's open hatch. A space marine in Deathwatch black, bedecked in skull tokens and animal pelts, walked down the ramp with his helm in his hands and the easy, nonchalant stride of an alpha wolf. He looked from side to side, seemingly idly, as he descended, an apex carnivore sizing up these other beasts that grazed on its plain. Thane noted that even the Skitarius looked away. The first ever watch commander of the Death Watch swept off the ramp and thumped Thane with an embrace that had his gyros whirring to compensate. Thane awkwardly returned the bear hug, overwhelmed by raw animal charisma and the damp scent of musk. Thumping his rear brace violently, the wolf lord pulled back. He smiled. His look might have been described as thoughtful, considered even, were it not for the set of sharp, overly long fangs. "Well met, Asgha, Warfist.
And you, cousin."
He slid one long arm across Thane's shoulders and crutched his pauldron to his chest, a purring growl rolling from the back of his throat.
"I never thought I would need to shake the hand of so many I have never met in one day."
"You grow accustomed to it."
"See my gladness at being here for just this one day. My ship translated into system barely 6 hours ago, and I am already wearied by it."
He turned to show the new crest on his armor. Thane could still smell the paint.
"Though some idea of what the role of Watch Commander entails would have been welcome."
"If it makes you feel better, I'm not sure either." Asgha snorted, amused, as Thane's gorget bead chimed. He held up a finger to forestall any further conversation. "Thane, here."
"Lord Commander Kurland reports aboard, Lord."
The vox whisper barely made it through the interference bands, but Shipmaster Waylon Kale was an old hand. A little inevitable physical deterioration was a fair price for almost 3 centuries of experience. The shipmasters of Bulwark and Faceless Warrior also report ready. Lord Beaumont's flotilla has cleared the exit lanes and is underway for the Mandeville Point, and Lord Issachar signals that he now awaits only on us.
"Inform Punished that we are ready."
"Signaled, Lord."
"Lords Quarion and Verpal forward their regrets."
Asgha smirked, his hearing sharper even than Thane's, and good enough to pick out the scratch of another man's gorget bead over the flight deck's clamour.
"I do not envy the Iron Knight his chance to play guard dog over Terra, though I envy the Crimson Fist the opportunity to warm Kurland's seat in the Great Chamber even less."
Thane chose not to comment.
The loss of Cassadra remained too raw to properly acknowledge whatever difficulties his successor faced in filling his boots. So complete had been the Crimson Fist's destruction on Ulanor that Quarion had barely made sergeant before his elevation to Chapter Master. They would stand guard over the palace under Chapter Master Vorkagon and his similarly depleted executioners alongside the sentinels of the new-formed Imperial Fists.
There is also a personal communication for you, Lord, from the Anachrono. Leaving Heroth to his duties with a nod, Thane withdrew to a stack of munitions crates beneath a little-used catwalk where it was marginally quieter than the rest of the deck. Put it through. There was a click as the shipmaster switched channels and then a garbled hiss, the signal no longer a wired ship line, but a ship-to-ship transmission through an intensely busy orbital space. There were Vox protocols, but they were poorly enforced, and civilian transports rarely adhered to them. "Forgive the indulgence, Brother Thane," spoke the uncommonly cultured tones of Euclideus, chapter master of the Soul Drinkers, "but after our last meeting, I felt a good luck was in order."
"It is welcome."
Thane and Euclideus had fought side by side on Ullinor, two of seven chapter masters that had formed Vulcan's vanguard into the great beast's Temple Gargant. A day that would live on in future histories if the Imperium endured to retell it. He sighed. Cassadra was not the only one to fall. Odenathus of the Ultramarines had also been slain, a mantle that was still to be taken up.
"We will both need plenty of it," Thane said. "I have no doubt."
"Agreed. And I intend to buy my share with orc blood."
"I hope to fight beside you again come the end, brother."
"Likewise. I have already spoken with Issachar. My fleet will follow you out. For Dawn.
For the Emperor. For freedom."
There was a click, and then silence, as the chapter master severed the line.
"To the war, then," said Asger.
"To test Corlan's new weapon."
"I have heard of it. And if it does not work as he hopes..."
Thane gestured to the row of towering launch bay doors and their view of Terra, as though this alone explained everything.
"Then nothing changes."